From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The world is welcoming the first day of 2011. As the new year rang in, there were fireworks in Sydney, Australia, and hundreds of thousands jammed New York's Times Square for the traditional ball drop. The year that ended was a volatile one for the financial markets, but Steve Beckner of Market News International reports that stocks are up handsomely.
Thin, uneventful New Year's Eve trading, leaving stocks mixed, gives no sense of the drama that attended Wall Street during the year. In July, stocks seemed doomed for a bear market, as what seemed like a promising recovery petered out in the second quarter. Lingering effects of the financial crisis, near double-digit unemployment, and uncertainty about tax and regulatory policy had investors in a sour mood. The Dow Jones Industrial Average sank well below 10,000, but stocks began roaring back after Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke signaled in late August the Fed would inject huge sums of new money into the economy. At year-end, the Dow is up nearly 11%, the S&P 500 almost 13%, and the Nasdaq Composite more than 17%. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner.
North Korea is calling for dialogue to ease tensions with South Korea in the new year. From Seoul, Jwali Sai-Kyoto reports a message was published in at least three major North Korean newspapers.
The New Year message, published in a joint editorial and carried by the North's official Korean Central News Agency, said confrontation between the North and South should be diffused as early as possible. The North State Television also broadcast the statement. The North claims to be pushing for improved relations to avoid what it called a nuclear holocaust. Last year, tension between the two Koreas reached a dangerous level following the sinking of a South Korean warship that killed 46 sailors and the shelling of a South Korean island that left four people dead. North Korea denies any involvement in the ship sinking and claims it only fired on Yongpyeong Island in retaliation for naval military exercises in its waters. For NPR News, I'm Dwahli Sai-Kyoto in Seoul.
Authorities in Egypt say today's deadly attack on a Coptic Christian church may have been carried out by a suicide bomber. Police initially said the blast came from a car bomb, but now the Interior Ministry says it's more likely it was a suicide bomber on foot. The blast went off in front of the church in Alexandria, killing at least 21 people. Worshippers were leaving following a New Year's service. The rare winter tornado outbreak in the Midwest and South that killed at least six people yesterday also left behind a survival tale. A rural Arkansas man says he kept his eyes open when a twister picked him up from his home and flung him across the street. Chris Sizemore, the northwestern Arkansas town of Cincinnati, says he has bruises but no serious injuries. This is NPR News. One of rock and roll's most famous garments will be auctioned off today. A Connecticut gallery is planning to sell the white suit the bearded John Lennon wore as he led the Beatles across the cover of the Abbey Road album. Here's Diane Orson of member station WNPR in Hartford, Connecticut.
Step into Braswell Galleries, and there it is.
It's an icon, and it's a major collectible piece.
Gallery co-owner Kathy Braswell says the suit's current owner needs to raise money. The collector paid $120,000 in 2005 for the suit and a Lennon blazer.
We have no idea what it'll bring. We have a lot of interest in Europe and Japan and locally, so who knows?
The Abbey Road album cover is one of the most recognized, analyzed, and satirized of all time. The auction also includes John Lennon's fleur-de-lis jacket from the 1970 Imagine documentary and his green 1972 Chrysler station wagon. For NPR News, I'm Diane Orson.
The fight for Alaska's U.S. Senate seat will not continue into the new year. Republican Joe Miller is conceding the race to his rival, incumbent Senator Lisa Murkowski, who waged a successful write-in campaign after losing the Republican primary to Miller. Murkowski was certified by the state as the winner on Thursday. The new year has brought new faces to the governor's offices in New York and New Mexico. In New York last night, Democrat Andrew Cuomo was sworn into office as the state's 56th governor, and at midnight last night, Republican Susana Martinez formally became New Mexico's first female governor. I'm Giles Snyder, and this is NPR News.